Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's still a month of discovery, even though it's the last Sunday of the month. Today, I want to talk about greatness. Greatness. What did I say?
Greatness.
What comes to your mind when you hear the word greatness? It could be that you think they are popular or you think that they are rich. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But what comes to your mind when you hear greatness? And more importantly, what does God think about greatness? Is it right for us to say some people are great? Can we aspire to be great? Or is greatness just reserved for some few chosen people? And every other person just remains ordinary. What does God think about greatness? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's a month of discovery. And one of the things that when you come into Christ, you must begin to realize is that God has his own definitions. God has his own expectations. And so you must find out what God thinks and make adjustments. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If you want to learn about greatness, you don't go to the dictionary, you go to the Word. So what does God think? One of the things we see is that greatness is recognized by God. It is recognized by God. It was recognized by Jesus Christ. And great people were noted by God. He said some people were great. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
God. Go to Genesis 12 verse 1. Genesis 12 verse 1. It says, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a
blessing.
Think about it. So God introduces the idea that someone can be great. He tells Abraham, if you do what I'm asking you to do, he says, I will make of thee a great nation, meaning a nation will come out of you. And it will be great. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Not just that. He says, I will make your name great. That means God makes people great. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
He says, thou shalt be a blessing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You have another example. Go to Job 1, verse 1 to 3. Job 1, verse 1 to 3. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed
evil.
Interesting. Verse 2. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3
daughters.
Verse 3. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she asses and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. That was Job. So let's bring it to Nigeria. It's like saying he was the greatest man in all of the Southeast. That was Job. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus also talked of John the Baptist. Go to Matthew 11, verse 11. Matthew 11, verse 11. It says, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, they have not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Meaning that there have been great people. Are you seeing that?
Yes, Pastor.
But none of them greater than John the Baptist. Look at it. It says, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. All of this to say that God recognized greatness. He recognized great people. And all the things that we have read, you begin to realize that it's not something to be ashamed of. It's not something to refuse. Someone says, you're a great person. You'll say, ah, not me. No, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, it's not something to despise. It's not something to get offended by. How can you call that person great? No. In fact, from what we are saying, if it's something that God gives, remember he said, I will make your name great. And the Bible says, only good gifts are from God, meaning that it is a good thing. It's something that you can even aspire onto. You can be great in the eyes of men, but the most important thing is being great in the eyes of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So there are people in God's eyes that are great. Such a discovery. And can you be among them? Can you be among them? Is there something that you can do? Or is it just by birth? Can you be among them? Go to Matthew 18. This one. Remember he said, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater. If you're in the kingdom of heaven, greatness can be yours. You can be greater than others. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Look at this. It says, at the same time came disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Jesus' disciples came to meet him. He was in the house. Matthew 17, Bible tells us he was in the house at this point. He came in and said, sir, who is the greatest? Because remember, just 7 chapters before, that's Matthew 11, that we just read, he said that the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. But John the Baptist was greater than everyone that ever came before him, including Elijah, including Abraham, including Moses. It's Jesus that said it too. Including Adam. And then he now says, but John the Baptist is the starting point. Everyone in the kingdom of heaven is greater. You mean that includes you? So maybe there's an understanding of greatness you need to have. Are you seeing that? Wait, though. Let's get this well. God is saying, let's be very careful now. He's saying, of all men born of women, none is greater than John. Right?
Yes, Pastor.
So maybe we can qualify Abraham. So Abraham was not greater than John. But then he's telling us, the one who is least in the kingdom, let's say the kingdom of heaven is a city, the last person to enter before the gate close, is greater than John. But you're not the last person to enter. That means you're far ahead. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So just by being born again, you're already great.
Hallelujah.
But because you have something, doesn't mean that you take advantage of it. And that's what we need to learn. The question, Matthew 18, verse 1. At the same time came disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest? So they heard him say this. So they're, okay. Everybody in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. In this kingdom, who is the greatest? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So they will know. All right? So they will know. Verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. First thing, he wasn't offended. Now remember, later on, they had asked him when the kingdom of God would come. And he said, it's not for you to know. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
But for this one, he wasn't offended. He didn't say, it's not enough that you're inside. Must you know who is the greatest? No. Look at this. Go back to verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Verse 3. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. But they were not asking about entering inside. They were saying, the one inside, who is the greatest? But he's going somewhere. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of
heaven.
But remember, it says you have to convert yourself, meaning humility is a choice. It's a choice. You can decide from today, I'm going to be humble. It's a choice. But then he tells them, the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is the one who is humble as a child. Humble as a child. Maybe you're working in an office, and it's the way your boss talks to you. And someone comes and says, why is she talking to you like a child? And you didn't get angry. I think you're on the right path. Because Jesus said he expects you to convert yourself, meaning that you already know your position. You know your age. You know your tribe. You know who your father is. But upon all that knowledge, convert yourself. Decide you're going to be what? Humble. So to Jesus, greatness is not what the world would consider greatness. It's not about the fame, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
John the Baptist was popular, but only in Judea and maybe Judah, Israel. Not all around the world. But yet, Jesus said he was the greatest. You had other philosophers that existed before then. Even Alexander the Great. Yet, Jesus said, John the Baptist was greatest. So to Jesus, it's not about popularity. He begins to tell us the first thing God looks at is humility. He doesn't stop there. Go to 20. So firstly, when you're born again in the kingdom of heaven, you're already great. But you can be greater. Are you seeing that? There's something you can do that ensures that you are greater. Matthew 20, verse 25. We'll read to 28. It says, but Jesus called them unto him and said, you know the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. So in the world, we think the person that has authority and power is the great person. Are you seeing that? If you come here and there's someone, they are cleaning their shoe, that person whose shoes is being cleaned is the great person. That's how the world thinks. We are not of this world. 26. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great, meaning that someone can decide, I will be great. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You can make that decision. I will be great. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Verse 27. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your... 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for... All right. So the first thing we notice about greatness is great people are humble. Great people are humble. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
No wonder he said John the Baptist was the greatest, because John the Baptist was very humble. The Bible tells us that the reason why we call him the Baptist is because he was the first person to start dipping people into water in baptism. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Yeah. It's like the first person to start rapping. You call him Mike, the rapper. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. The last pure water you drank, what was the original name? Who cares? It's pure water. That's all you know. As long as it's not in a bottle, it's in that nylon, it's pure water. Praise the Lord. So that's why he's called John the Baptist, the first person to start baptizing. Sonny was not the Baptist. Okay? The first one to start baptizing. So it was his thing. And guess what? All of Israel, all of Judah came to him. So he was popular. Then one day, he introduces this man, Jesus. Right? He says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And from that day, in fact, nearly he said the 12 disciples left him. You know, think about it. This is the most popular minister in all of Judah. Let's say Israel, all right? The most popular minister. And then one person comes, he's even older than him, because they are cousins. And he says, behold the Lamb of God. Oh, nice. But from that day, people start moving. The ministry is not moving to permanent site. It's reducing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And then this Jesus, but the good thing is at least the Jesus is in another city. Him is in another city. Praise the Lord. So even if people want to move, some will still stay because they can't travel. But then Jesus comes to his city again. And not just that. He starts baptizing too. Near him. This is his own ministry. Do you understand? Lamb of God, carry cross. Why are you baptizing? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And then remember, John had disciples, so they are also noticing that people are leaving. No, look at it, John 3. John 3 verse 26. John 3 verse 26. It says, so his disciples came to report. Praise the Lord. In case John has not been noticing. Because remember, one thing about John was he was very loud. Right? And he rebuked everybody. He didn't send. Rebuked the soldiers, rebuked the ruler, rebuked everybody. Even ordinary people rebuked them. So they expect him to start rebuking Jesus, but he has been quiet. Maybe he doesn't know. So they come to tell him. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, in other words, this one should be personal to you. He that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness. Meaning you're the one that even introduced him to this thing. He says, behold, you see, I want you to understand that they are priming John up to get angry. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You can see, that's what they're doing. They could have just said, Master, someone is baptized. No. The one with you beyond Jordan. To whom you bear witness. He says, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. In other words, he's stealing your show. He's stealing your people. Not just that. You should have trademarked this baptism. Because he's stealing it too. 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. This must be the calmest we've heard John. He said, a man can receive nothing. 28. You yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. 29. He that had the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Wait. The disciples are angry. He said, me, I'm happy. Think about it. He said, as it's happening like this, I'm very happy. Next one. He must increase, but I must increase. That kind of humility. He almost no deal. Such humility. That they come to complain about Jesus to him. And he said, no, God gave him this one. In fact, as they are going to meet him, I'm happy. He must increase while I must decrease. Humility. No wonder Jesus said he was the greatest. So, firstly, greatness. You want to be the greatest. You can be the greatest. You should aspire to be the greatest in the eyes of God. And how do you do that? The first thing, humility. Humility. It's a decision. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Nobody is born humble. Some people in situations that make traffic bend. Do you understand? You say, he's very humble, he's not proud. Maybe because he's poor. If he gets money now, you might see something else. Humility is a choice. Meaning that if I can choose to be humble, I can choose to be great. Greater than I already am. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. So Jesus praised John as great. Can God praise you as great? God praises men. Bible says in the last day, each man shall receive praise of God. God praised Job in Job 1 verse 8. So can he praise you as being great? What's interesting is that when Jesus was talking to the disciples about who is the greatest, he encouraged them. Are you seeing that? He encouraged them. He says, if you be great, this is what you should do. Meaning that he wants you to be great. And the first step is to decide to be humble. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Maybe you're good at something. Maybe at your workplace. And a new guy comes, and all of a sudden everybody's saying he's doing it so well, he's doing it so well. Before you get angry, remember John the Baptist. He had an opportunity to be angry. In the eyes of men, he was failing. Do you know what it is for you to be the most popular minister and like this, everybody goes? Even Christians might start saying that your cupboard is not clean. God has left you. But you see, he chose the path of humility. In the eyes of men, maybe he wasn't humble or he wasn't good enough. But in the eyes of God, he was great because he chose humility. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Yeah. And so choose humility. Tell your neighbor, choose humility. While we are learning about all the glorious things we have in Christ, don't forget to be humble. Don't forget to be humble. And to show you how humility is a choice, in Luke 14, Jesus said, if you go somewhere, go and sit at the back. This is a conscious decision. The front seat is right there. You can easily walk there. You might even be walking there, but you remember the word, and you choose humility. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Remember in Luke 18, the Pharisee and the publican, both were praying. The Pharisee could have said, or the publican could have said, even though I'm not that bad, praise the Lord. But he chose humility. God wants you to be greater than you are right now. But it starts with your decision to be humble. You know, humility should even be the natural response. Because what do you have that you were not given? What could be making you proud? Is it your knowledge? It was someone that gave you. Is it your revelation of God's word? That's why it's called revelation. God gave it to you. If he gave it to you, he can give it to someone else. So where is the pride coming from? That was John's thought. He said, a man can receive nothing except it is given to him from where?
Above.
If God is the one that gave this person, will I fight against God? No. Instead, I'll be happy. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And when he said it, Jesus will come and say, do not run with speed. That's why you're the greatest. No. In fact, when Jesus called him the greatest, he was not there. He was in prison.
Yes.
Great man in prison. Yet he was great. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So the first thing we begin to notice in our being greater than we are right now is that we should walk in humility. Be humble. Tell your neighbor, be humble.
Be humble.
Yeah. The second thing he says in Matthew 20 is what? Service. Service. A great man serves. He serves God. That's a great man. It's not about the number of resources you have. It's that you use that resources in your service to God. And in serving God, you help people. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Service. For example, I was saying that when you hear greatness, what comes to your mind? In the world, it could be money. A man with a lot of money is very great. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because he can do and undo. To an extent, it's correct. Right? With money should come greatness. Because you can use that money in your service to God in helping people. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 15. As it is written, he that had gathered much had not... Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
He that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Let me read again. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Who is gathering? What does this mean? It says, as it is written, meaning that he's quoting scriptures.
Yes.
Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
He that had gathered much had nothing over. Who is gathering? Who's gathering? Who's gathering? At least if you hear it is written, you should know. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The children of Israel. All right? What happened was God sent manna from heaven. Do you remember? And he told them to gather every day except on the Sabbath day. And so they found out when they gathered that the person who thought, you know, for example, if you're gathering money on the ground, right? And everybody has a bag. The person with, you know, the same gather must go back. Someone is gathering. He spent 2 hours, you spent one. You would think the person who spent 2 hours gathering has gathered much. Are you in this place? And the person who spent 1 hour has gathered little. But when they went back home, the person who spent 2 hours gathering did not gather excess, to his shock. And the person who spent 1 hour gathering, do you understand this thing? It's like there's money on the ground. And he sees someone just packing 1,000 naira. 1,000 naira, 1,000, 4 hours, and you just came. And of course, as a wise person, you pack too. But in 30 minutes, done. So you parked for 30 minutes. The other person parked for 4 hours, 30 minutes. But when you went back home, both of you, alone in the house, you parked the same thing. So the next time, what would you do? Praise the Lord. You just branch in 5 minutes. All right, so that was what happened, right? So what God was, so for example, families should pack more because the husband, the wife, and the kids, single person should pack less. But the way God did it is that when the family went back home, they had just enough for everybody so that they will not sell it because you know this is Israelite. While the other one had just enough for himself. So that was what happened. But he quotes this scripture because he wants to teach us something. Or he's teaching something. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We don't have manna coming from heaven anymore, aside the living word. But there's a thought. Verse 14, go up. It says, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their wants. That their abundance also may be a supply for your wants. That there may be... Are you guys in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Does this make a bit of sense? He's saying that the way God wants it is that when you have abundance, you provide for others. So when they have abundance, they will provide for you. That means that a great man cannot be selfish. You can't say, I just want enough for me and my family. That was not God's plan. God's plan is he's going to give you access so you can look for those who don't have enough and provide for them. Are you seeing that? So that when they have access, in case you don't have enough, they'll provide for you. So you should want to be great in terms of finances. That's where I'm going to. In terms of money. You don't become selfish. I say, me, I'm just humble. Because we say humility. I'm just humble. I don't want so much. Just me and my family. That is selfishness. That's thinking so small. In fact, when God told children of Israel, when they were going to the promised land, when he gave them how, you know, instructions on how to behave, he never gave them that mindset. Instead, he said, when you're going to reap your harvest, leave some. You don't say, oh, it's just for me and my family. No, leave some for the poor. Leave some for the stranger. And so you want to be great in your finances because God would use you to help others. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Not just money for me and myself. Who told you to be enough? He says, able to make all grace abound towards you. So you have more than enough. No, 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 no. When Jesus told Peter to cast the net into the sea in Luke 5, was it more than enough? Was it just enough fishes they had?
No.
Just 7 fish. Is that what happened?
No.
So much that the ship began to sink. They brought a second one. That one too began to sink. The net tore. So don't begin to think about being least in your finances. Think of greatness. But at the core of it, that greatness is to serve people. Are you seeing it?
Yes, Pastor.
So the greatness is not just having the money. No. It's that with that money, God can use you to help others. So your money becomes your service to God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. There's a reason why the money must come. Because through you, God would help others. Go to Proverbs 21 verse. Proverbs 21 verse 13. Proverbs 21 verse 13. It says, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. What does that tell you? It means God doesn't expect you to be poor. Because for you to be opening your ear to the cry of the poor, it means that you have something to give them. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
It's not like just open your ear, let me just hear you cry. God say, I should open your ear, cry. I know. It's that you have something to give. So if you're living your life just for me and my family, just for us, how can you fulfill this scripture? God expects to have more than enough. To be great all around, so that whatever you have, you use it to serve him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And you don't see this scripture now and say, ah, thank God for this church. Those of us that are poor,
not me.
They will hear us. That is such a terrible way to understand scriptures. Why? You have an opportunity now to side, and you chose to side with poverty.
Not me.
Instead, it's you he's talking to that you should not close your ears. It's not you he's saying will be crying. Always choose to side with the giver. Because God is a giver, praise God. Before you sit there and say, oh, I've not been crying enough. No. God wants you to be great. And he wants you to use your resources to serve him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. For after service, someone come and say, now, should we hear what pastor say? Okay, but all of this shows you something. Right? Increasing in greatness begins from the heart. It's a posture of the heart. You can decide right now that you're going to walk in humility. That's where it starts. Are you in this place? You're going to walk in humility and you're going to serve God. With everything that you have, you're going to serve him. Because you know to God, this humility and service is greatness. You're going to, you know, you stop thinking like you're better than every other person. You can do that. It can be a conscious decision. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And you're going to serve him in his house. And wherever you find yourself, you're going to serve him. Are you learning something?
Yes, Pastor.
Yeah. Greatness begins with your heart. And so no matter the spiritual charisma you think you have, and say, me, I'm very, very erudite in the scriptures. Or, you're the kind of person, every small thing, prophecy has flowed. Or you see visions. In all of that, he tells you, use it for service. So no matter what you know, no matter your experiences, your spiritual experiences, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You're still thinking about being humble and serving others. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12. It says, even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. It says, as much as you want spiritual gifts, you want things to manifest in your life, it tells you where your heart should be. Are you in this place? You're not seeking to prove that God is with you. You're not seeking to show people that you too, you have the word of knowledge. You're seeking for the betterment of others, meaning that you're seeking to serve God with these gifts. It tells you that's the way. Go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. 12, verse 31. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. You know, I always think, we should walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Because it sounds very sanctimonious to say, when you come to the presence of God, don't desire his gifts. And you have people give you that example that, imagine anytime someone meets you, they're just looking for the gift you can give them. Will you like it? No. So does God like it? No. You can't tell God what he should like or not. The Bible says the exact opposite. He says covet. He didn't even say desire. Are you in this place? Desire is calm. Covet is this thing. I want it. Praise the Lord. Not just say the best for you. He says covet earnestly the best gifts. But he says there's a way to do it. And then that's when he gets 1 Corinthians 13 when he talks about love. And so even though you're coveting earnestly the best gifts, it's not to terrorize people. It's to walk in love.
Yes.
Are you seeing that?
Yes, Pastor.
Yeah. It says, love hopes all things. Meaning that whatever you have, you can hope that someone else can have it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So in all of, you see that God wants us to be great. And he's teaching us humility. And where your heart should always be. Maybe today you had planned that you'd be the one to minister so and so. But then you come and your leader say, you're not doing it. Let your heart, your posture be that of service. Oh, okay, so I'm not needed now. When I'm needed, please, I'm available. You don't say, am I not the one that I've been doing it since? No, remember John the Baptist. Always remember him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Humility and service. Humility and service. Go to Philippians 2, verse 4. Rounding up. It says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of, you see, the posture of the heart. Now that you have so much money, you think, how can I help? How can I be relevant in God's house? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You don't behave like the rich fool. All you're thinking about is, now that I've arrived, I have arrived. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
No, thinking about God's kingdom. Thinking about how to serve. How to be better. The greater your advancement in life, the more you think about how you can be further humble. Are you seeing that?
Yes, sir.
How you can serve even more. No time in your life, listen to me, should you ever say, I know I have passed this level in the house of God. Never. Are you in this place?
Yes, sir.
You talk to yourself. God must always guard your heart. You check your heart. It must always be in the right place. Never say, at this point, should I not be the one holding mic? Who told you? Who told you that? Never say, at this our level, you're not the one preaching again now. We don't do that one. Yeah, we just give money for the preaching. Never. Jesus, God himself came to this world and he was preaching. Who are you? Never. So you check your heart. Because remember something. The Bible says there are rewards. And people can say, oh, we are not serving God for reward. Oh, he's the one that told us. He didn't need to tell us. But he told us so we can have faith. So whatever you're doing, you know there's a word guiding you. So who do you think will get the most, the least or the greatest? The greatest, of course. And we can all be great and get even greater. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
All of us can be great. It's not one for the other. All of us can be great. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Rounding up. He says, we are reading to verse 3. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Knowledge puffeth up, but charity
edifies.
Say glory.
Glory.
He says, knowledge puffeth up. That's the first stage of knowledge. Once you find out something new, chances are you feel like you're better than everybody. I like what Samuel said. It swells you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If you're at that level, it's good. But that's not the best. Are you in this place?
Yes,
and then, of course, you should mind the kind of knowledge you have. There are some knowledges or some information that you get from God's word. The only thing you can do with it is to argue. It's true. That's how the knowledge is fashioned. If you're your own, you just discover that Adam was 4 foot tall. You can't use that knowledge yourself to look for arguments. Are you in this place? So it says, knowledge puffeth up, but love edifies. So you can start by knowing something and you think you're better than everybody. Who knows this thing? Only you, only. And by the way, the longer you have been on this earth, the more you'll be humble to find out that anything you think you know, many people already know it.
Yes.
They just have not said, you have not heard them. Doesn't mean they don't know it. Remember Elijah? When he said he was the only one in the whole Israel serving God. As though he had visited all the houses. And God said, nah, what's wrong with you? So when you begin to know stuff, all right, it's okay. The first level is that you feel you're better than everybody. That's fine. But move on. Start walking in love. Go to verse 2. Look at this. It says, if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. So maybe you think I have arrived. God says you don't know it yet. Right? You don't know it yet. Verse 3. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Wait, so if you don't love God, God doesn't know you? Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my words. And my Father will come and abide with you. All of that to say, one of the first proof that you're beginning to know God, know Jesus, is your humility. In other words, it's your greatness. The more you learn of him, the greater you become. Are you seeing that? In the eyes of men, maybe not so. But any spiritual person can tell this person is getting greater. Why? They're more humble. You know humble people. Are you in this place? I don't mean false humility. They're more humble. They take correction. They don't complain. They're available. They're serving. Wow. This is someone who knows God. Because that's exactly what Jesus did. Go to Philippians 2. Before we go there, go to Matthew 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Who's talking?
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. He says, I have a yoke. I have a burden. You to take it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And what? Learn of me. That means learn my ways. Look at me and learn. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
People that say, we cannot know God. With our small brain, you're not supposed to use your brain. So use your spirit. How can we know God? He's the one that said, learn of me. He won't say learn if you cannot learn. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Don't put hurdles in your walk with God. He says, learn of me. Then he tells you what you should learn. I am meek and lowly in heart. And how true. See the way the Pharisees were talking to him. Is that not somebody that is meek? A man that raised someone from the dead. You're talking to him anyhow. On a norm, is that normal? I told you, they never talked to John the Baptist anyhow. Why? The man was in the wilderness. Wore only one type of cloth. Ate only one type of food. Is that a normal man? You can't talk to that one anyhow. But Jesus, approachable. Approachable. Meek. So they could question him. Imagine questioning God. They could question him and say, this thing you have said, no heaven for you. No. He answered them. Every time they had a question, yeah, in fact, he communicated at times, he asked them his own. How meek? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This is all knowledge, oh. All knowing Jesus. He didn't say, you don't understand these things. You don't know these things. Why am I wasting my time with you? No. He answered. He answered. When they were trying to trap him, he called them out. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And he answered. He says, learn that. That's what you should learn. The only thing they learn is fire and brimstone. This is what you should learn. Learn meekness from Jesus. That's what you should learn. That with everything that he had, he was still approachable. He still believed the best in people. Remember when he told the scribe, you are not far from the kingdom of God. That was not a good scribe. They came together to tempt him.
Yes.
Are you in this place?
Yes,
he knew that's why they came.
Yes.
Yet, he still saw there is hope for you. Learn from him. Learn humility. That's what you should learn. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because that's the life he lived. Go to Philippians 2. We'll end with this. Verse 4. So maybe you came late to church and it's raining. And they said, why did you come late? And didn't you see it's raining? Did you see it's raining? This church, safe. I'll not come next week. Let me see what you will say. Firstly, coming to the church is for your own good. You're not doing anybody anything. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Secondly, use that same mindset and don't go to work when it's raining. Or don't go and write your exam when it's raining. Let God know you are real. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. No. Drop the pride. Pick up humility. Are you in this place? Look at this. We are reading from verse 4 to verse 9, and then I am done. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord. It says, look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of...
Oh,
we already mentioned this, right? And it's going to tell us how that is exemplified in the life of Jesus. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you. Meaning that it's possible for you not to have this mindset. But it says, listen, begin to change your mindset.
Yes.
Begin to think differently. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So he's telling us, when Jesus came to this earth, he had a mindset. There's a way he thought. And he says, listen, it's not just unique to Jesus. You can have it too.
Yes.
Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Can't you get it so well? He said that Jesus knew he was God.
Yeah.
And he didn't think saying he was God was robbing God. Do you understand? He knew he was God. He knew he was equal with God. John 10 verse 30, I and my Father are. He's one that said, if you have seen me, you have seen my Father. So he knew. So it wasn't like Jesus was a man and he now discovered he was God. And he was now learning. No, he always knew he was God. He always knew he had resources. Do you remember when Peter caught someone's ear in Matthew 26? What did he say? He said, don't you know I can tell my Father? And he'll bring 12 legions. Not 12 dozen, no. 12 legions of angels. Legion means uncountable. That means he knew what could happen. He knew what he could do. Are you in this place?
Yes.
All the Pharisees terrorizing him. He wasn't, you know, some of you watch cartoons and movies and they say from one level to another, he's beginning to learn his power. He always knew what he could do. Praise the Lord. So he says, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He knew. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation. He says, this man should be in you too. We know who you are. Only you, CEO of 7 companies. America is calling you. Maybe it's true. You have seen 7 angels and 50 demons. Okay. He says, yet be like Jesus. He says, even though he knew who he was, he made himself. No, do you know who I am? No reputation. Amazing. He says, and took upon him the form of a servant. A great man. Are you seeing that?
Yes.
He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. So he began to live like a man. I'm pretty sure the spirits could not believe it. Remember in Mark 1, while he was preaching, a demon shouted, I know who you are. So they knew who he was. Yet, he's sleeping on the boat. Yet, he's tired in John 4. Is this really the real one? That's what they were asking. Is this the real one? Even though he knew he was equal with God, because he found out he was a man, he lived like a man. Are you seeing that? He found out he was a man. You might be the CEO of a company, but you find out you're an usher in this church, you act like an usher. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Yeah. You might have the best cars, but you find out you're in media. You just carry your speaker in peace. You don't have to be dangling the car keys. Let us know. Ah, in any fellow. It says he made himself of no reputation. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I mean, some people get cars and their status, we can't hear what they get. You see the key everywhere. So I can't believe in the any fair. This key is slippery. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he what? And became unto. Even the dead of the cross. Meaning that he was humble and obedient even though he faced shame. He says that mind should be in you. That's the mindset you should have. Not touch, not my anointed. You can't try me. Praise the Lord. This is the one he says you should have. Where you are obedient even though it seems like it's a shameful thing. I'll give you an example. It won't happen here. But let's say we are all learning. I say, what are you doing here? Go to the back. And then you're in front. Then you get up and you go to the back. Obedient unto death. It might seem like a shameful thing. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You might feel like after service, I'm going to explain to everybody what happened. He says he made himself of no reputation. He was obedient. He was humble. He says that's the mindset you should have. Go to verse 9. Wherefore God also had highly what?
Exalted.
Truly, greatness is humility. Because God was so impressed by his humility, he says he highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. That's what makes the name of Jesus so great. It's not that he was born of God. You are born of God too. Is that they call Philip out? You might be the one to go. Are you in this place? The reason why his name became so prominent was because of his humility. So while we are discovering who we are in Christ, lay hold on humility. Are you in this place? And choose to be of service to God. Who will you be if not for God's grace? So when you're serving God, let's use the house of God. You're always there, present, humble, doing what you need to do. Praise the Lord. When it's time to bless people with your resources, you're doing it with humility. Not that you bless someone with shoe, now nobody can hear word. That shoe, let me give them one. Just if it you can't give someone, nobody, any gift you give, they can't enjoy it. Give me a phone. This is how we help the people. This is how we help the masses. This is how we help the people. I just gave him, what did I just give you? New kicks. To the glory of God. Jesus said, when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right. Let people have some sanctity. Not that everywhere they go now, that's the way they give up. See, have you ever seen people that in terms of charisma, even intelligence, even the way they talk, you don't understand why they are being promoted? Yeah, there are people like that. Yeah. Talk true. Yeah. If they were promoting any other person, it should not be this one. Why? Cannot even communicate English well. Doesn't even dress so well. How is he being promoted? It could just be humility. Are you seeing that? It could just be humility. Then you don't say, so you mean I'll do boy if I'll be promoted? God expects you to. So you say, I'm going to change. Do you know what it is for you to be God and the people you created are spitting on you and mocking you, and then they use their own hand to make a crown of thorns and place it on you? When you think about that, what is there in life to be proud about? He gave us an example. Let this mind be in you. Carry it everywhere. God wants you to be greater than you are right now. Even in your office. Don't say me. To progress in this place, you have to be doing boy. Maybe it's humility you're calling boy. Change it. Praise the Lord. Be dependable. In God's house, choose humility. Say, in my own age, how can I be carrying this? What do you mean? Jesus carried the cross. What is there for you not to carry? Have you learned something today? Yeah. So, to sum up what we've learned, everybody in God's kingdom is great. But God expects you to be what? Greater. And the only way for that to happen is that you choose humility. You decide to be humble. Humility is a choice. Meaning that you're going to have many opportunities to be proud. Many opportunities to kick back. In those opportunities, take it as a test that you must win. Are you seeing that? Take it as a test of your faith and of your love. That's how you should see. You show God, as this is happening, that listen, I believe you, I am humble. And in that humility, you serve. You should always be the one found serving. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You're looking for someone who is serving in God's house, it's you. You're looking for someone who is doing the extra at work, it's you. That is God's way. In the eyes of men, they might call you a fool. In the eyes of God, you are great. And because it's true, it means you don't go around picking offenses. People are always offended, always offended. Always. That's why they've changed jobs. They don't like the way they talk to them. Let me tell you something. As long as you're in this world, people will talk to you in a way you don't like. Get ready. Jesus said offenses would come. They would. You know what they called Jesus in Matthew 27? They said that deceiver. That's what they called him. They said he was deceiving people. So if you're going to let offenses lead you, you're not being led by the Spirit of God. Don't let offense make you proud. Are you in this place? When your offense comes, remind yourself, this is a test, and I must win. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Say, thank you, Father. Thank you for your word that has come to me today, changing the way I think, making me better. Thank you. I choose humility. I choose service. I choose greatness. Thank you, because I know I am increasing in my knowledge of you, in my walk with you, in my expression of love, in my expression of grace. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Have you learned something today? Just go ahead and thank God for what you've learned.